Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, watch over us, protect us, and guide us as we seek to do your will. Thank you for the many blessings in our life. Thank you for salvation, and in Jesus' name we pray. It's good to greet one another. I understand that the ancient Greeks frequently greeted each other with the word for grace, and the ancient Hebrews would frequently greet each other saying the word for peace, and the early Christians would often greet each other by saying grace and peace. It's kind of a wonder that King Solomon's words, that he said that there was nothing new under the sun. So, can you imagine in those days, in ancient people, that they greeted each other with something else? Maybe like, how's it going? Yeah, well, there probably was a very commonly used expression just like that, but it's all different, and it's all the same. Both. Well, the days gone by, and Solomon's wisdom. You know, I've seen some of the ancient cities in my life, and one of them was Pompeii, and that was where Mount Vesuvius covered the city very quickly in ash, and many of its inhabitants were left dead because of the poison gas and the ash. That was in 79 AD. Too many of them could not leave the city in time. Their boats were all full, and so many people were unable to leave. Many of the people died by, like I said, either the poison gas or the volcanic ash from the volcano. Citizens from Pompeii could tell from the years previous and the months previous and the days previous that the volcano was active, but they just didn't listen to the volcanoes acting up. They just thought it was kind of normal and that they would just live there anyway. It's kind of like what goes on with us today. We think so many things are normal and nothing different will happen. But who knows? There's lots of things that could happen. Over and over again, we recognize that there are warning signs that things could be different. You know, just something in some way. And there's always a reminder to get a little bit prepared. It's always a good thing. So, back to King Solomon. You know, there is nothing new under the sun, whether it's the way we feel, we humans feel, or the way we act in the similar ways. We think about blessings and abundance, and that's what we want. In history, there has been many blessings and abundance, and there's been all sorts of difficulties, too. Now, we want the blessings, we want the abundance. And we don't want the difficulty. So what's new? It's all the same, kind of. But how do we remember to get those blessings and that abundance in our life? I think a part of it is protecting us from difficulties. And we can have small preparations, like a first aid kit. So if we get a finger cut or something or other happens, we can just kind of cover it over and make it so we can continue in whatever we're doing. So those are the little preparations we can all do. There's big ones too. Like what do we do if there's a big drought or a hurricane or a volcano or earthquakes? There's all sorts of things that can go on. And mostly I think about the things that are just kind of the middle of the road things we can do to get ready. And certainly water and food is one of them. So there's lots of specific answers, and everybody has their own ideas and their own answers for what kind of things might be coming and what kind of things we can do about it. I like to think about the things we just might face. I like to think about how we can all get prepared, and this is all on my mind because I just gave a presentation about preparedness. And so I got to thinking about these basics again, and also I had an interaction with a man who just said I could talk about this again, and so I decided to. It all just kind of came together. What are those basics of staying healthy and being prepared? Well, a lot of it is to have good air, good water, good food, warmth, or shelter. Now, how do we do it? Well, everybody has our own thoughts on it. Everyone does. And we don't want to depend on people like the government. There is a Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, and some people will be dependent on them. Some people will be dependent on our local governments, and some people on the local church, maybe family members. And maybe your mom and dad will help, or if you're older, maybe your kids will help. It's just a lot of things that can happen, but the best answer is to rely on your own self and prepare for people like your family and people around you. Have some provisions. Have some things that are preparations. And we as Christians, we want to be a part of loving and helping other people. Certainly your own family and certainly your Christian family. But in order to have something to give, in order to help someone else, you have to have a little bit extra or a lot extra. So that's another part of saving up, so that you have something from which you can give. To me, I say this is all a part of our Christian calling, that is to give to other people and to love each other. Now, when it happens, how it happens, how much it happens, those are decisions which you must depend on your own thoughts to figure out. Use your own wisdom. So you get to recall some of these things, like I think of that song. They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. So I think that's a part of it. How do we show our love? How do we show that we have wisdom? And different people, different situations have different answers. There's just a lot of the questions of what to do and how to do it. And we don't know what'll happen next, but it seems we are at the end times. Well, we are for sure. But what does that mean will happen? And I think that really if you look especially to Matthew 24, chapter 24, you'll know that there's some pretty serious possibilities going on around you. And you'll want to keep your eyes open, your ears open, and think about what kind of major concerns there are going around us with other people, with authorities. And I think of one case here. You know, I think about preparedness. But for over a year, I've been going to a Bible study, and last year, for the third time in about 15 months, I've talked for 5 or 10 minutes about the importance of preparedness. Now, it's a Bible study, so I don't like to go too much into that, but every once in a while, I have talked about it, like I said, 3 times in the last 15 months, and I was a little surprised that there was a retired couple that had never engaged in any preparedness concerns when I spoke about them. But just those couple of days ago, I was surprised to find out that they were a little more concerned than I was about the difficulties we could face. And certainly there's many of them, many, many. And so I think about do something, because if you have some preparations, that will reduce your anxieties. So think, plan, and do. And I'm always glad to get your comments and suggestions for what other things I could go over or the same things. So you remember to let me know. I know that for many people, there is a concern about the Oroville Dam. Many people are concerned about what would happen if it did break. And the repairs are not completed. They won't be completed until next year. And there's a lot of people who are still concerned about the Oroville Dam. And what would it mean if we didn't have a dam? Oh, we would have a great, huge loss of the agricultural water for our food crops. And there would be a great big drop in the amount of electrical generation that would come to our businesses, our factories, and our homes. Oh, there's just a real potential situation there. A lot of people are concerned with fires also. There's grass fires, there's forest fires, And this is always a huge problem for our state. And we can always be aware of all sorts of serious problems. We don't know what they are really, but there are things that we look to our own selves to see what is sensitive, what we are sensitive to for what we consider a problem or a danger. Certainly there's always a fire danger. That's another one. There's people who say we should always have a grab-and-go bag, and that is something we can always have, a grab-and-go bag with whatever it is we think we need for just a quick, short few days. And the idea is that you have a few things. You might have a checklist on top of it so that you can take that minute or two to make sure you have everything. Some of the things you might not have in your bag is medication or something like that. But by all means, have some things that you just might need if you lose your home, like insurance papers, identification papers, notes about who your doctors are or your prescriptions or medicines that you commonly take. Maybe have a spare eyeglass prescription or your spare pair of eyeglasses in that grab-and-go bag. Hearing aid batteries. Sure, lots of other batteries. Oh, there's lots of things. You could have an extra set of keys in case you want to give it to somebody who's going back, like your neighbor who's gone back to check on their home, but you don't want to go back, but you want them to check an outbuilding or something. So there's things to remember. Have your phone numbers written down separately in case your cell phone is not charged. Also a cell phone charger. There's personal hygiene items, a change of clothes. You probably will want a little medical kit, a flashlight or two, spare batteries, and of course, water and food. Now, if you're taking a pet, you will need those things, a few things for them, either like water and food, whatever they're used to, because they like that better. You'll also need a pet carrier. Don't forget that. A pet that is in the car and loose is not always a good thing. So have a containment area for it, like a nice cage. So this is just a start. You get to figure out what the things are to add to it or subtract from it. And you think about what are the possible situations we could face, and then you consider what could happen, what you want to have on hand. A lot of things are just decided by our own determinations. You get to figure that. And remember that whatever problems we're facing, we're better equipped if we don't have to face it alone. If we can face it as a community, that's better yet, maybe as a neighborhood. It's better to help one another. We can always find ways to look out for other people. And that reminds me of John 15:12. And Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." That's a lot of love. Wow. So there's more to it than that. Read it, John 15:12. Loving each other is so very important. So lately, like I said, I've had some thinking and talking about what serious difficulties might come along. There's volcano, there's earthquake, there's shifting continental plates, could cause a tsunami, and there's a clear and present danger from a financial crisis. So all these things were on my mind, and I thought I should talk about them one more time, besides someone else said I should. So I gave it some more thought and came up with my outline. So what about an earthquake? Well, there's a number of earthquakes that could happen, and they could affect us significantly. We have the Southern San Andreas Fault, which they say is all wound up and ready to go. That's what they say. There's the Juan de la Fuca Fault, which is right along the West Coast Cascadia Induction Zone. Now, that's right off the coast. It goes from Northern California to Vancouver Island in Canada. And there's a big concern about that one. It could generate a tidal wave, and FEMA said it could result in 10,000 deaths. And there's people who multiply that number. They say a lot more than that could die. There's volcanoes that are a potential problem too, especially in conjunction with earthquakes. They're kind of joined, and they're kind of not. And volcanoes, there's several potential volcanoes on the West Coast, especially when you consider that there's an active volcano in Mexico City right now, and there's an active volcano in Alaska. Yep, and we're right in between those two. There's just questions, and I suppose that you could just look and think, what are we going to consider when there's 37 active volcanoes in the world today? That's more than normal. And it might be that there's one right near you that could be going off. So those are the kind of things to think about. A little further away, there's the New Madrid Fault Line, which goes about from Washington, D.C. to south of Chicago. That one was a big earthquake. It went off in 1812 and 1811, and it caused church bells to ring in Boston, as I recall. It was Boston. So it's a big earthquake fault. And the other thing that it did was it made the Mississippi River flow backwards at one point. And it did that for a couple of days. Backwards. Wow, that's a lot of movement. So these, the scientists say, are overdue for another fault line shift or earthquake. So all these things are things we can consider and think about. It might happen here, or it might happen over there. Either way, we're affected. I also think that the U.S. monetary future has problems coming up, and all we can do is keep our own little area stable as best that we can. Pay off your debts. Do what you can to get stable in case there really is a huge problem. So we don't know when a serious financial event would happen. But these events have happened worldwide, and something could certainly happen here, causing the dollar to rapidly, rapidly lose its buying power. Too many people these days, financial people especially, have seen a dollar collapse as happening just very soon now. Oh, sure, there's been people who've seen it in recent time, like in the last months, and it didn't happen. But it doesn't mean it won't. It's just that the conditions are right for something to happen. And if there is a dollar collapse, it would affect every one of our lives. And we just don't know what could trigger such an event, but there's several things. And that's the thing about today. I want to talk about there being lots of things that really could be trigger events. And we just, again, there could be lots of them. Which one will it be? It's a guess. Nobody knows that. So if we look into the history of money in the last decades or the last centuries, we can see that paper money has failed many times. That the money that was printed by other countries in the past no longer has any value. It's worthless. These old currencies are something to kind of marvel at because it's a historical pattern. We can see this might come about. And that's the natural progression of paper currency. And that's why our U.S. Constitution requires our United States money to only be a precious metal or a semi-precious metal. Of course, all that changed in 1913 with the Federal Reserve. The history of that is a little bit involved, and we could go back to Andrew Jackson and how he stopped the National Bank of the United States. But there's things that are huge potential problems, and we also have to be concerned about the international stability of money and what would happen if there was a kind of a crisis, what would happen to our domestic purchasing power. This money thing is really a big issue. It's bigger than most of us realize. A devaluation is a big problem. That's just kind of typical for what happens when there's a crisis. A couple of months ago, I gave a presentation to a Christian group, and a man in the audience gave a recommendation that everyone should have $1,000 in silver coins. And I said, sure, that's a good idea, just in case money is good. Now, silver coins are pure silver, or in the case of our old silver coins, it was 90-something percent, like 92% silver. But the point is silver has a value. The zinc in today's coinage does not. So if you're interested in those pre-1964 ordinary circulated United States coins, get some. Or get an ounce of pure silver coins. Like in the United States, the Treasury has coined the Walking Liberty, which is a silver bullion coin. It's all silver. And in Canada, they have the maple leaf, which is a little bit prettier. So you get to see what kind of coins, but they have a real value because metal has a real value, not like a piece of paper. These coins cost less than $20 each. And it depends on what the spot price of silver is. So it does change. I don't keep track of what it is, but I have a rough idea of what it is. So it has a value that you can store, and it's not like paper currency, which can suddenly be called worthless. As other countries have made their currency, that is the paper money bills, worthless, they have said they won't honor them anymore. Well, the idea is to just have a little insurance on whatever might happen. So that's why food is so important. Get food before you get silver. Get food before anything, because we need that to live. Every one of us does. And I also suggest water containers, maybe a 5-gallon container, so that way you can still move it. It's not so heavy that you can't move it. You could take it with you. You can take gallon containers with you. There's lots of options here, but they have to be cleaned really, really well, or use a bleach bottle. They're not bad because they're opaque, and then the sunlight doesn't get in to promote algae. So there's different ideas, but you make sure you can do something. Remember that it is estimated that each person should have 1 gallon of water a day. It gets to be kind of a lot when you think of, what, a week? Oh, why not a month? Yeah, and a month might be more realistic than we can even guess. And there's people who say longer than that. Okay, 6 months? Phew, I don't know. Maybe get a water filter in case you have to collect it from the creek or something. Well, a lot of answers here and a lot of solutions. Every one of us gets to see what kind of an answer we come up with. But consider that U.S. dollar and what it means if it was to collapse, because there's been all sorts of agreements, all sorts of movements in that direction to devalue the dollar, make it worth less, and the media does not bring it to our attention. But if you listen to the financial news, it's right there. They talk about it. It's just that we regular people never hear about it. I do suggest the silver. The gold coins are good if you want to get an investment and put your money into something, but don't expect to sell a gold coin because they're just too big. Who has change for a $1,200-and-something gold coin? So get the silver. Well, you figure it out. Get your food, silver maybe. Think about it. Get some supplies. Realize that all these things are only a part of price increases to have the money which gets devalued. All these things are typical for countries that have our huge national debts or can't pay for the things coming up into their country. You see, if we didn't have what's called a petrodollar, our money would not be in demand. It would be worth less, a whole lot less. So what it is a question. Now, there's been countries that have devalued their money. Sometimes the old money is worth 10% of what the new money is worth, or it all gets devalued. So all money is worth 10% less. And in the case of Russia in the 90s, they devalued their ruble, and they made almost 1/1000th of its original value just to compete on the world scene. They have to sell, they have to trade, and all these things can happen to any nation. It's a situation. That's why Venezuela's in trouble, Greece is in trouble. All these things are potentially problems, and it could catch up with us one way or another. I know I talked a little bit about money on the January 7th Christ Today broadcast. That is kind of an overview of a lot of things, and money was just one of the things mentioned. I talked about our heritage. I like that episode. So you can always go back to it. Just go to christtoday.org and look at January 7th, 2017. I talked a little bit about past events or historical events and current events and future possibilities. So you're always welcome to go to christtoday.org and see what the kind of things I talked about are, because some of them will be interesting and some of them won't. I try to change the subjects for every episode. But go back and listen. Skip through what you get on the internet on christtoday.org, because some of them will be interesting to you and some of them won't. But have a listen. And don't forget, I have good guests too. There's some really good guests. So just think about these things. Talk about it with people who can help with your understanding, because all these things affect your lives, just like Christianity affect your life. Christianity and our Christian outreach, it all affects our life. And somehow the things that make stability in our life also make a difference. They are something, how they are a way that we can interact with people. There is a way that we present ourselves, and there is a way that we can discuss things as we have our life stabilized. And like that couple I talked about earlier at the Bible study, I think that their concern was that they hadn't really had any preparations, so they feel uncertain about what the future may hold. They were more concerned about it than I was. So if we have a crisis, and we could, because we have such a huge, huge debt, and yeah, Japan has a larger debt than we do, and they are in the middle of a problem. They've been dealing with it for some years now. One of the things that goes on is money printing, and money printing in our country too. Oh yeah. There's four times more dollars today than there were in 2008. The more of something you have, the less is each one's value. And we have been printing money and putting it into our economy, and it's just something that could come back on our economy. And our economy could really have a great difficulty. Now, don't forget how big our national debt is. Million, billion, trillion? Oh, yes. 1 billion seconds is 12 days. 1 billion seconds is 32 years. And 1 trillion seconds is 32,000 years. Yeah, $20 trillion national debt. Wow. That's all I can say. Wow. How are we going to pay this back? I don't know. Who do we owe it to? That's kind of not known either. There's lots of countries. Lots of countries. That's how one of the ways that things are intermingled, so that if there is a crash of the system, it will affect every country, every central bank, and it will become a crisis of huge proportion, all intermingled. And during that time of happening, it could happen that all the banks would close for a period of time. And how long would it be? I don't know. But things do happen, and things we cannot even imagine happen. Yeah, the banks closed in the Great Depression, and right before World War I, the stock market closed for several months. I'd have to remember, just, was it 5 months, I think? So the point is there are things that happen. There are more or less emergency situations, and there are things that happen. They've happened in the past. They've happened, and they can happen again. So you consider all these things with what your plans are as to how to do. And yeah, I say get prepared, and everybody get prepared in their own ways, because we all see things differently, every one of us. And that's the advantage of being a community, because if you see one thing as needing attention, and I see another thing as needing attention, and somebody else sees a third thing as needing attention, when we all get together as a community, we will be able to help each other. And yeah, I sure do recommend a Christian community. I think that's the best way to do it. And if you can't do that, you can be a community of having some other common interest, or maybe even your neighbors. If you're on a live close to people with neighbors, everybody will have a similar concern at one point, and that is making it through the difficulty. So consider the money thing, because that's something which always is a question. Are you familiar with Thomas Jefferson? He was accredited with saying something like, we would become slaves in a country where forefathers were free. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation and then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all property until the children of the forefathers will wake up homeless on a continent that their forefathers tamed or conquered or something. So all these things are things to consider. We have a system. It should work well. But we have to remember that there are considerations. You know, another thing that he said was that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies were. Now, at that time, standing armies were a pretty big danger, and we only can imagine it today, but all these things are considerations. People considered that a central bank or a bank institution to be pretty dangerous, and we've lost that concern. There's just things that we should be aware of. Things can happen. And there's more than a few people who think of a new financial system coming our way. It would be through the World Bank or the International Monetary Fund. They are connected. These are international United Nations institutions. And they have a plan. They've had a plan for decades about what would happen if there needed to be a new formation of an international currency. And so they came up with something called SDRs, which are special drawing rights that are available to governments and corporations. And if that was to happen, why, the citizens of each country would still continue to use their own traditional currency, but that currency would not be attached to anything of value, and so the value would fluctuate. And that pretty much means always going down. the purchasing power would continually go down. It could be by 1/10 or 1/100 of its original value. This has happened to countries all over the world and throughout time and in the last 100 years also. You think about, there's a few countries that are famous for their inflation. Zimbabwe, Venezuela, Germany, in the Weimar Republic, 1920s. All these things are indicators of what might happen. And our $20 trillion national debt is a huge, huge item. So this is going to have an effect on whatever happens in the future. We can only guess for how it would affect us, but there's a lot of people who are absolutely concerned, absolutely. They're concerned about our money system. They're concerned about our pensions, our retirement funds, our Social Security, and all those things running out of money all across our nation. And this has happened in the past months, in the past years. There have been more than a few of these retirement funds that have run out of money and only been able to pay a fraction of what they promised. So it's a problem that could repeat itself in a really big way. We don't know if we have 10 months or 10 years. These things could suddenly get to be a big, impossible problem to overcome. This has been a problem that's been known about for years, certainly for 10 years, and nobody wanted to address what it would take to fix that problem. It was just going to be painful. It was going to be a difficult thing to try to figure out how to resolve that problem about the retirement funds not being able to fund themselves. And with all these years of interest rates being so very low, we haven't been able to build up the pension funds, retirement funds, to any level, because all they've been doing is paying out, and never being able to replenish themselves with the original capital because the interest rates have been so low. Things are set up for difficulty. What that difficulty is anyone's guess. But we are concerned. People who follow the financials are very concerned. Every retiree should be concerned, because these are something that just could simply wipe out payments. There's a number of things that could happen that would just stop payments immediately. That's just one of them. So, why do I talk about this terrible, terrible things? The reason is because look at the potential and then do something to get prepared. That's why. If we have something come upon us ever so suddenly, look at events in the past. Look at the emergency events. Look at things. I think 9/11 is a really good example of it. And so is Hurricane Katrina. Other things. There were huge, big effects on our country. And when did they happen? Suddenly. Suddenly, without warning, it was all of a sudden there. So I say, just think. So many people are considering some kind of an event could happen today. So take a little time and have a little plan, and then figure out what it is that you can do so that if there is a problem, you're able to get through it. I think of the most basic needs: water, food, warmth. And of course, there's financial. The debt that every one of us seems to have is a problem. And somehow we'll have to figure out an answer, because it doesn't look so good for the future. And if we don't have a thought, if we can't come together on an agreement, you can see what happens in our own Congress. They can't come up with an agreement, and what happens? Nothing. Nothing happens. So how do we solve problems? Well, It'll be different for everybody. But I say, look and see what you can figure out. See what you can figure out for yourself, for your loved ones, for the people around you, your Christian family, of course. So have a look. The consequences are just too great for you not to consider the just-in-case situation. There's too many potential problems. Just examine what some of them can be, and then take steps to figure what you can do about it. That's why to be, a community, a Christian community, or some kind of a community, even neighbors or family, whatever it is, everybody will think a little different, and you can prepare for a little different things, but preparation is good. So, yeah, I do think about that Thomas Jefferson quote sometime. There's other people who said it too. He wasn't the only one, but there were people who said at the time that first by inflation and then by deflation, we would no longer be in control of our bank and our land. Well, he said in effect. So I couldn't help but think about our inflation in our country when I was reviewing that. And my first thinking was, we haven't really had that much inflation lately. But as you think about it, if you think about the long term, it happens so gradually that we just don't notice. And that's the way it's been for us. We've had inflation. We've gotten past it. Everybody's gotten past it. We've got adjusted for our wages, for buying things. And I couldn't help but think, but back in the late 60s, I was thinking of younger days, and I remember 29 cents to buy a loaf of bread, where you could really buy a lot of groceries for $20. It's not that way today. I'm sure some of us in the audience will remember 29 cents for a loaf of bread. I remember 29 cents for a gallon of gasoline. Now it was a little more and a little less, but 29 cents for a gallon of gasoline, roughly. And then there was the time I went to New York City. Oh, that was exciting, by the way. So much is going on in New York City. It's just a, like they say, the city that doesn't sleep. Everything's always going on there. But what I remember was there was gas wars, and we were paying about 29 cents a gallon here in the United States, so in California, that is. And in New York, they were paying 19 cents a gallon for gas. 19 cents, sometimes a little less. And yeah, it made a difference. So I want to tell you, yes, we have had inflation. Oh, I think about a conversation I had with my mother once, and we were talking about what it was like in the 20s when she was growing up, 1920s, and how much did a candy bar cost? And she said, well, some of them were a penny, and some of them were two for a nickel, and some of them were even 10 cents each. And so I say, yep, we have had inflation. Look at inflation. So just consider that for over the long term. Yeah, we've been eased into it. The prices of things, well, we've got accustomed to things. So what's going to happen next? It'll be a good question. You know, there's so many things. And that's what I just want to remind you, to look at what can be, so that you can look at how you want to get prepared. I know that there's people who think about what would happen if there was an electromagnetic pulse or a coronal mass ejection. Those are the things. EMP, electromagnetic pulse, comes from a nuclear bomb. CME comes from the sun, coronal mass ejection. But either way, the effect is the same on our electrical system. Now, for some reason, we have not been able to fix our electrical system because Congress will not allocate the money for it. We could keep it protected from one of these kind of overload events, but they just never seem to be able to find the money to do it. And what would happen if we had an electrical outage? Oh, it could go badly. In the early 2000s, there was a man, Dr. Peter Pry, who wrote a congressional report about what would happen if there was an EMP or a CME, and what would happen to our electrical system and our industry and citizens. And what he found out was quite startling, that, well, it could affect just a portion of the United States, or it could affect the entire United States. It just depends on where everything was positioned, including the planet. So he was saying that our electrical grid could go down for 1 to 6 years if that was the case. And if it went down for 1 year, at least half the population of the United States could be dead after 1 year. Dead after 1 year. At least half. Now, there's a lot of people who want to use the high end of that figure, which was 90-something percent. And so if you say 90% of our population, well, it's possible, but I prefer to use the low end of that number, which is 60% of the population. But when you think about how dependent we are on electricity for all sorts of things, from buying groceries to pumping gasoline to keeping our equipment on to processing or using a drill or our lights being on at night or communication devices, television, or have the delivery of all sorts of things in stores, the ability to make sales by our cash registers and lighting, all these things would be affected. So you can see where the effect is really much longer and more involved than you would have thought, than I would have thought. So after I dwelled on it for a while, I could see where it really would be a life-threatening situation for so much of our population after 1 year. We could make it through a good amount of time. What it is, anybody's guess. But the whole point is, it made me realize that there really is an element of danger from that happening. And we want to pay attention to it, because, like I've said, everybody pays attention to a different part of preparedness. Every one of us will prepare in different ways. And then, as a community, we interact. So, another thing about that 1 to 6 year number, the six, reminded me of the Yellowstone Super Caldera volcano, because there have been a lot of little earthquakes in that region lately, and there was a Smithsonian television program that reported that if Yellowstone Super Caldera went off, that volcano could devastate our Midwestern farmlands and all the farmlands in the United States, and that could make food production go for 6 years before it was normalized. As I've said before, 6 years is a long time to go without food. So who would be able to grow food in a situation like that? The effects would be worldwide. And it's just another example of, let's get ready, let's look at what could happen. If our electrical grid went down, it's just one of those things. And speaking of sunspots, in a way it's less likely now, because we are on the verge of a solar minimum. That's been projected for several decades, but so many people don't pay attention to what the actual science is, and so we get confused and we see things that are not real. But there is projected to have a grand solar minimum, because it's the pattern of how things go every 240 years. And what if it means is effectively that there would be an ice age sort of a situation. Reduced sunspot activity is on the edge of really being right here. And what that means is the electrical magnetic field of Earth is disrupted, and lots of interactions could happen that are unusual. That's probably why we're seeing such unusual weather with floods, with heat, with all sorts of things happening, all sorts of things. But what it means is that if there was a disruption, it could lead to extreme weather, and that includes the cold. And that would mean low crop yields, maybe even winters where there were no crop years, yields. The years for that would be, they're thought to be between 2021 and 2039. And on one hand, that's the time frame, 2021 to 2039, and on the other, it's talked about as a 15-year event, maybe longer. And there have been these what is called minimums in our solar activity, and that has been something that has happened in the past. And there have been famines. There have been, what's that called, disease, epidemics going around where death was greatly increased, and that's said to be why the Black Plague and other situations happened, about widespread disease, is because the people weren't so healthy and they couldn't resist. But we can only guess, but there is something going on, speaking about something going on, we have signs in the sun and the moon with with the eclipse coming up on the 21st of August. August 21st, there will be a full eclipse across America. So that's one thing people are saying. Is this an indicator? Sure. And there's another thing people are saying is September 22nd of 2017, there will be a positioning of the stars in the constellation Virgo. Many people are seeing this as the Revelation 12:1 event, where some people are saying that it is pointing to the return of Jesus Christ on a sort of any day thought. So have a look at Revelation 12. Look it up and see why people are considering that this could be a possibility for right now, just around the corner, any time. Yes, it could be. So anyway, we have all sorts of things going on. I've talked about holographic projections, and that's another thing of talking about the stars, talking about the moon, talking about signs in the skies. And there was a Project Bluebeam that talked about having images projected and sounds projected. They're getting better and better at it. They're getting to the point where they can disrupt the electrons and people can actually touch an image. I think that if they wanted to, they could put their hand right through. But there is some sensation of touching. And how do you make an image very real? I don't know, but they've been studying it and apparently can do it. It's one of those things that could indicate the coming of Jesus, the coming of Mahdi, or the coming of vast armies in the sky and UFOs, perhaps. All these things are possibilities. Where does that put us? Good question. Good question. Have your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's where it puts us. Now, with those things about events in the sky and perhaps UFOs, I think of, let's see, this was 1991. Henry Kissinger talked about this at a Bilderberger conference in France. And look, here it is. His quote, he said, "Today America would be outraged if United Nations troops entered Los Angeles to restore order, apparently from riots. Tomorrow they will be gratified and grateful. This is especially true if they were told that there was an outside threat from the beyond, and that means extraterrestrial invasion." And I'll continue. "Whether real or promulgated," and promulgated means made up, "something which threatened our very existence. It is then that all peoples of the world will plead to be delivered from this evil, and one thing that every man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will willingly be relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being, guaranteed to them by the world government. Close quote. Henry Kissinger, 1991, to the Bilderbergers. So, I just want to say that there's a lot of thought that has gone into the kind of things that could be happening, the kind of things we see, whether they are real or imagined. All these things are heading to a time of uncertainty, a time of crises, maybe. And so what do I always say? Get prepared. Think. Plan. Do. Come up with an idea that's suitable to you, something that you want to do. Come up with your own plan. And remember that either for life or for death, you will want to have your eternal relationship with Jesus. That is what you want. Our life here is temporary. Our life in the hereafter in heaven is eternal. And so we want to belong to God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. Consider these things in all that you do. And I think I'll just remind you that I always like to have your you might have a comment, an input, and you can contact me at www.prepareforgod@usa.com. That's my personal email. So, and then you can listen to these shows at www.christtoday.org. And just tune it in. Listen for free. www.christtoday.org. There's lots of good broadcasts. So listen to one. See if it appeals to you. If it does, listen. If it doesn't, skip through it or skip to another one. There's lots of guests and good guests too. So I'm thankful to have you listening. Thank you for listening. And see, make sure of your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's the big thing. May God be with you, and may you be with God.